Good morning. I lit a candle this morning acknowledging the death yesterday of Chris Mast. We received notice from the president's office a bit ago, and I received it this morning. I guess it was sent this morning. And I'll read it because it touches our community pretty closely, very closely. We mourn with the Mast family and the broader community the tragic death of Chris Mast, who took his life yesterday afternoon. Chris, a 1989 graduate of EMU, was a local business person with many relationships in the community and here at EMU and at Eastern Mennonite School. He was the son of Christine Mast Hill, museum educator in Souter Science Center, a brother of Roger Mast, associate professor of physical education and men's head soccer coach, brother-in-law to Gloria Mast, assistant director of housing and residence life. Chris's wife, Lynette, is also Gloria's sister, and their neighbors. Mark Mast, a junior here, is nephew, and Brianna Nolt, a junior here at EMU, is a niece. And there are others we could name. Many friends, the Parkview Mennonite Church community. And so we ask all of us to be sensitive to this great loss and to hold the family and friends, neighbors, colleagues in prayer in these days ahead. And this candle symbolizes our desire for God's Spirit, the deep love and grace of God to come close to the family in these days at this time. A reminder that if you are friends with the family or with Mark or Brianna or others, it's a good time to continue to reach out in friendship. And if you're not close, it's not the best time to try to get close quickly. To try to create a relationship that wasn't already there and genuine. Please be supportive, but it's not a good time to be asking for details. Just be present in love. Let's pause for some silence. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Be present with us. And more fully present with the family and friends, colleagues of Chris, and those who are in closest relationship with him and his family. Amen.
Good morning. Catholic priest Henry Nouwen once said this about church and leadership. It's clear that a whole new type of leadership is needed in the church of tomorrow, and I would say the church of today. A leadership which is not modeled on the power games of the world, but on the servant leader Jesus. And I would just say that for those of us who know Chris and Lynette, that is how they have lived their lives. Even though they were successful business people, Chris did not model his business on power games, but on being a servant and sharing generously with the community, and in specific with our community farms. Any of you who have had connection to our community place and our community farms, Chris and Lynette were very involved in that program. So I'm here today to talk about the Ministry Inquiry Program, and I just was thinking as I was preparing for that this morning that when we enter into ministry in any form, we don't all only walk with people who rejoice. We often frequently walk with people who weep and learn how to spread God's love, convey God's love in difficult situations. So if you would choose to do a ministry inquiry program this summer, I could not guarantee you that it would be all fun, although I hope there'd be some fun and laughter. There might also be, as there is in any ministry role, some sorrow. But you would be walking in a community. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Carmen Schrock-Hurst. I teach in the Bible Religion Department and also direct something called the Ministry Inquiry Program. Mennonite acronym stands for, we call it MIP, but that's what it stands for, Ministry Inquiry. This is a program run by Mennonite Church USA. You do not have to be a Mennonite to participate, so keep listening. It is a program designed to help test gifts and leadership skills of someone who wants to explore ministry. You do not need to be a Bible and religion major to do this. You don't even have to think that you want to be a pastor, but you have some nudge of God's Spirit and some other people saying, hey, have you ever thought about this? Every summer we send people all across the country, and even someone has gone to Bolivia. You can receive up to $2,000, which comes partly from Mennonite Church USA, partly from EMU, and it's my job to get some from your home congregation and conference and the place where you're going. So if you complete an 11-a-week internship, you may end up with $2,000 that goes directly to EMU for your fall tuition, not into your pocket. You also can get 3 academic credits if you need summer credits, although then you'd have to pay tuition. I will also say, just to be clear, while you don't need to be a Mennonite, and we welcome anyone of any denomination in the program, your placement in order to receive the funding from the Mennonite Church USA does need to be with the Mennonite Church. We're working on that, but so far that's how it works. So Matt, we have 2 students here today to talk about their summers, and Matt was creative enough to work with RISE downtown. He'll tell you more about RISE, but that has its roots in the Methodist tradition. So we had to do his funding a little bit differently, and he didn't get as much as all MIPers, but he will still tell you he gained much more than money. So I will be available up front after chapel if you'd like to learn more about this program. We're accepting applications right now. You can find an application online if you go to the EMU Bible and Religion page and click on MIP. And also, I'm sure these gentlemen would be happy to tell you more of their stories. So we're going to just do this in a little bit of an interview style today. Rather than them getting up and talking, I'm going to prime the pump, and we'll see what they have to tell you about their experience. So thank you for being here this morning on Friday. And why don't you start, Jacob, telling us who you are, your major, and where you were this summer.
I'm Jacob Landis. I'm from Sterling, Illinois. I'm a Congregational Ministry and Biblical Studies major, junior. And this summer I was at Scottsdale Mennonite Church in Scottsdale, Pennsylvania, which is about 45 minutes to an hour southeast of Pittsburgh. Congregation, over the summer we were worshiping between 60 and 70, kind of a small community, but the church was The base of the church started out as part of the publishing company, the Herald Press, Scottsdale Publishing Company, which has now been moved to Harrisonburg. So that's kind of the history of the church that I was working with there.
Like Carmen said, I'm Matt, and I interned with RISE, which is a Methodist-based campus ministries that works with James Madison University. And yeah, it's about the same size as what you were describing, perhaps a little smaller during the summer because all the college students go home or go somewhere else for their time. So.
Okay, so we'll come back and hear some more about that. Why don't you each tell us, starting with you, Jacob, some of the specific things you got to do as a ministry intern?
Yeah, part of my job as a ministry intern was kind of shadowing the pastor, Conrad Mast, for a while until I kind of saw what was going on. I did some work formatting the bulletin, putting stuff in there. I preached a few times. I did home visits and just kind of got to know the community and got a feel for what it's like to be in the office.
I didn't spend much time in the office. I did a lot of the ministries that RISE has in the community. So during my summer, I did a lot of gleaning with the farmers market. We would go twice a week, and we would ask the vendors to donate food so that we could give it to charities or food pantries in the area to help feed the hungry people who live in Harrisonburg. And I also did some work with another one of RISE's ministries called Rise and Shine, which is a hygiene ministry. And I think there was a drive for that ministry last semester. But the premise of it is that people who are financially challenged don't have a lot of money to spend on certain hygiene items, especially diapers, because apparently diapers are expensive. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you wouldn't, but they are.
So, but we would give people who came to Rise, to the Rise House, diapers if they needed them, women's products, toothpaste, toothbrushes, shampoo, soap, any hygiene item that we had that they could use, and we were able to minister to people in that way.
So Rise had you doing some real hands-on ministry. I know, Jacob, you got to go with some youth to the Pittsburgh Convention, which I don't know, was part fun and part stretch. I also know that your summer involved some plumbing. Tell us some of the things that you got to do in addition to what you described.
So I went with the youth group at Scottsdale Mennonite to convention. We combined with Pittsburgh Mennonite's youth group. So I spent some work with that. And then Scottsdale Mennonite Church is also doing work with some refugees from Bhutanese Nepali area. And one of the times, the leader of that group had some plumbing problems with his sink. So the pastor and I went up to Pittsburgh, and we spent an afternoon fixing his sink and working with his shower head a little bit. So our ministry was not just kind of your typical pastor stuff, but it was going and kind of helping people with their small things. Some other stuff that I did kind of along that lines was there was a widow lady who has a pond and kind of a dam, and it had a sinkhole in the middle of it. So a member of the congregation and I went and took a dump truck and filled up that sinkhole, and then of course the next week it rained and it all drained out and we had to do it again. But so we did some work that way as well.
So what you're both telling me is that to do a summer with MIP is not just to do what you might have assumed a typical pastor does. And I remember reading in one of your reflections, Jacob, you're growing to appreciate things that pastors do that you hadn't realized they do. And that was fun to read. So I would ask both of you, what did you learn about yourself? This program is designed that you might discern leadership gifts. Do you want to pursue a future doing ministry sorts of things? Did this scare you away?
So this summer kind of came out of a calling to go into ministry, and over the summer I guess you could say I accepted the call into ministry. I don't know what that will look like for my future, but I know that somewhere, somehow, I will be in some sort of a ministerial position, whether formally or informally. One of the things I learned this summer was that I am really uncomfortable doing home visits. I don't like just showing up somewhere for no good reason just to hang out and talk. I like to have a purpose. So that was really getting out of my comfort zone just to go to somebody's house and sit down and talk and really not have any other agenda. So that was a little something I learned about myself. I also learned that apparently I'm a decent preacher. I got a lot of compliments on that after giving a few sermons.
So I chose to work with Rise for a number of reasons, but one of them was because I feel called to go into ministry, but I'm not sure if that is youth ministry or if that would look more like sort of congregational ministry. So I chose to intern with Rise because it's kind of a middle ground, sort of, because you have lots of youth, young people who are part of that community, but at the same time, it's a lot of what they do on Sunday morning is a congregational style. So I was able to learn that I really am enthusiastic about ministry, doing God's work in the community, and whatever ministry role God calls me to, I feel like I could fulfill that role in some way. So Rise was able to teach me that I am called to ministry, and this is what I love to do.
So I assume it wasn't all something to write home about. What was hard?
I think one of the hardest things that Rise asked me to do was, me being a naturally very introverted person, I was expected to be very much part of the community, being in the community of Rise. And of course, you cannot be in a community and spend all your free time alone. So one of the hardest things that I had to do was learn how to balance my desire to seek solitude with the need that existed for community to occur. So Rise very much pushed me in getting out of my comfort zone, getting out of my introverted box, and putting myself out there to talk to people who are at the farmers market, to communicate with people who came to the Rise House for the Rise and Shine supplies, and helping to meet their needs and be in community with them, and also just trying to do what my job with Rise is.
And the truth is, there are many introverted pastors who have to learn how to do that, how to take care of themselves and recharge. How would you answer the question, Jacob?
Yeah, I would probably agree with you. Being an introvert myself, like I kind of said, it was a challenge to get out sometimes. For me, it was also very hard to be in the office as long as I was, all 3 or 4 hours of the day. Just because growing up on the farm, I'm used to being outside most of the day, so sitting in a desk was really challenging for me. I made light of it, though, and was able to spend more time in prayer and study than I think I've ever spent in my whole life, and that was really a gift. Another challenge, I would say, for me was I went to Scottsdale not really knowing anyone there. As I was driving there, I realized I only have very, very slight connections with any of these people here, and I'm going to get there, and I'm not going to know anyone. So that was kind of scary going in, but I was really welcomed in by the community. So it wasn't quite as bad as what I thought it would be.
And I hear tell you could probably have a job there if you wanted it.
Yeah, when I left the congregation, I had a number of people come up to me and say, whenever our head pastor's ready to retire, we would welcome you in. So that was encouraging. So
that says a lot about their receptivity to your role. They let you jump right in. I think that happened with both of you. In 11 weeks, you can't just spend five of them deciding if you want to be there. You got to hit the ground running, and they let you do that. But it also says a lot about the quality of work that you are offering them. If you have any remote interest in this, please come talk with me. If you have a friend you think would benefit from this program, you can guide me. I want a small church. I want a large church. I want an urban church. I want a rural church. I want a multicultural church. And we'll help to find a place that is a good match for you. So my last question is, why should somebody consider doing this?
Well, I would say that if any part of you wants to do anything with people in a community, then doing MIP would definitely improve your leadership skills, help you to discern how to do whatever it is that you feel called to. And I would think that you don't have to feel called to church ministry in order to intern with MIP. You can be called to be a teacher, you can be called to be a nurse or psychologist, what have you. And doing MIP would be beneficial in that you learn how to be in ministry with people, however you do that, whether through teaching, counseling, nursing, meeting people's physical, spiritual, emotional needs. And MIP can really improve how you go about doing that.
I think what you might be saying, Matt, while this is a congregationally based program and you'd be working in a congregation with a pastor, many, many churches are realizing that church is far beyond what happens on a Sunday morning, just like you got involved with gleaning or filling in a
a sinkhole. So this is a way to be hands and feet of Jesus on the front lines in a lot of different ways beyond just a church office. You have a closing word for us, Jacob?
I guess kind of. To echo what Matt was saying, I don't think you have to have a call directly into ministry to do MIP. I think if you're interested in seeing what the church looks like from the other side of it, it'd be a good experience. If you're interested in seeing what it's like to have a larger role in the church, but maybe not a pastoral one, like you were said, maybe teaching Sunday school or working with youth, or if you had some other project that you wanted to try to start in a church, leading worship or something, there'd be room to find that in MIP. And one of the books I read this summer that really impacted me a lot was a book called The Unnecessary Pastor by Eugene Peterson and Marva Dawn that talked about the role of a pastor is not really what we've made it to be, that most of the work that a pastor does is work that the congregation should be doing. And the pastor is there for the teaching and growing the leadership and stuff, but really a lot of the work that we think a pastor should do is work that a congregant should do. So really anyone can do MIP, just a matter of finding what your passions are and plugging in.
And the truth is, it's an exciting time right now as church is being reformed in many, many ways, and your generation is at the forefront of helping to reshape it. So here's a way to put your dream into action this summer. Thank you all for being here. And if you do go to the website, there are links to other people telling their summer stories. You see what a wide variety the program offers. Thank you.